Morning, everybody. Today's Friday Shavuos, and refreshments are Lili Nishmas, my grandmother, Tzivya Bas, Rav Avraham Matisyahu. And just interestingly enough, just as an aside, last Friday morning I sponsored also some refreshments. Lili Nishmas, my grandfather, Chaver Ephraim ben Moshe Yehuda. And last Friday night, before I went to bed, I decided I was going to take one of my storybooks that I have in my house, and I picked out a storybook, and I opened a story to the following story last Friday night. And I'll just try to say it b'kitzur, but there was a woman whose daughter came home from school and said that they all asked if any parent wants to speak about a grandparent at an assembly in her school, and the daughter told the mother that, you always talk about our Zaidi, our grandfather, how amazing he was, and how he's always learning. And, maybe you want to come and speak in the school. And the mother said yes. But the next morning, she realized that she's stage fright, and she really doesn't want to do it. So for a long time, she was apprehensive, and she was nervous about doing it. And when she got to this assembly, there were four chairs on the stage, and they were filled with, like, chashuv rebbetzins. And here she was, she felt she was a regular woman, and she got totally stage fright, and she froze. And the principal came over to her and said, "Don't worry, come up." And she opened up and she started talking about her Zaidi. She said that he wasn't a rav, he wasn't a magid shir, he just sat and learned, but he owned the store. And she doesn't, in the storybook from Nachman Seltzer, he doesn't even describe, he doesn't even mention, I'm not even sure the woman remembered what she said. And she's ended her speech, and there's a round of applause, and she just like ran outside of the room. She's all embarrassed. And then at the end of the assembly, she came back in. And people came over to her and said, "Wow, what an amazing speech." To make a long story short, soon afterwards, 2 years later, a few weeks later, she had a dream, and her grandfather came to her in a dream, and he was all happy and glowing. And he said, and she understood that his glow was directly related with the fact that she had spoken about her grandfather. And then he said to her the following line. He said to her, "If you invite me to the bris, if you name a child after me, I'll be at the bris." And then 2 years later, she had a child, and around the yard site of her father, her grandfather, and the baby was not born on the yard site, but the bris was on the yard site. And exactly what the grandfather had told her 2 years earlier, that if you name your son after me, I'll be at the bris. So the Musar Haskel over there that I took from it, and obviously I read it last Friday night, was that even though I actually spoke about my grandfather for about 30 seconds to a minute last week, and I brought some rungalach and chocolate milk, I realized from the fact that Friday night I read this story, that how powerful it is, even to say a good word, right? She spoke about her grandfather in an assembly, how he was, he was an Eved Hashem, and he was a masnid, etc. All of a sudden, her grandfather came to her in a dream and showed her that did something for his neshama. It showed me that whatever you do, you say a good word about a grandparent or about somebody who's deceased, or you get some chizuk from somebody like that, it obviously does something in Shemayim. It also reminded me of what the Rav Mashul often has said over, that Rav Shteinman, when he would give tzedakah, so he would say that this, this shekel is l'nishmas, this deceased ancestor or relative that passed away in the Holocaust, etc. And they asked Rav Shteinman, like, what's the pshat? He said that in Olam Haba is like a desert, that no matter how great a person is, you're parched, because you can't necessarily enhance your status in Olam Haba once you're there. But what can happen? People can do things in l'nishmaso. That when he gives tzedakah, for even a shekel, l'nishmas somebody, it gives him like a little bit of a sip of water, a little sip of water in a desert. Just something to keep in mind. And that, it taught me that anything we do, l'nishmas, certainly our ancestors, who obviously, if you're here in yeshiva, all of our ancestors had a tremendous influence on where we are today. I'm sure, no matter where you are in life, they had a tremendous impact on you, directly and certainly indirectly as well. And that is something that you should keep in mind. And anything you do, even a little bit of bagels and cream cheese, even a small word, can enhance their situation in Olam Haba. Okay, so that's number one as a side point. This week's parasha, it says, the first pasuk in the Torah, and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh tells us that Shemin is likened to Torah, just like the Torah lights up the world, just like Shemin lights up the world, so too Torah lights up the world. And the Or HaChaim goes on to say that since the Torah is nimshal, it's compared to a zayas. Now we know that an olive is very, very bitter. A person has eats an olive, so it's hard to get that bitter taste out of his mouth. Yet, when you crush the zayas, when you work the zayas, what happens? It becomes sweet. It becomes the most amazing thing, olive oil. And he says, that's how the Torah works, right? The Torah works. A person toils in Torah, and it's hard. It's hard. It doesn't come easy, right? Rashi, Tosfos, the Gemara, the words, everything's hard. But like anything that's special in life, the reason why Torah is neutral of Zayas is this Nakuda, that things that start off bitter ultimately are sweet. I mean, I've quoted this before. The Chosin Yeshua writes that Liman HaTorah, becoming a masbid, takes weeks, if not months. But once you acquire it, right? Once you acquire it, it's yours. And I said, right, what was the quote that we saw this past week on the bulletin board from the Chazon Ish? It's easier to learn 18 hours a day than 8 hours a day. What an unbelievable quote. That is the Nakuda. The Nakuda is, once you get it, it's like a drug, right? As the Zohar HaKadosh quoted, and many people have sing this song, right? If we'd be Margishin, as Mesikas of Torah, Mishdagim, right? We'd be Mamish, we'd go crazy. And you see, the story is actually about our Rosh Hashiva Shlita. Mickey Mark, Hashem Yom Kum Domo, used to say over that they would go around collecting money in the yeshiva, and they would come back at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, and the Rabbi David would sit for hours in the middle of the night and sit and learn. What's Pshat? I mean, what, he doesn't need to sleep? What, Chaim Kadesh doesn't need to sleep? Shtayman doesn't need to sleep? What's the Pshat? The Pshat is, I was reading something else recently about this. Oh, I'll tell you in a second. What's the Pshat? The Pshat is you become crazy over Limud HaTorah. How could that be? How could it be the same Torah that people stay up all night over? Right? Rabbi Eisenstein was talking about the Rishach. Have you heard that on a tape? About Rishach with the Sharon Eon, that he would go in his pajamas to the base measures, right? Do you understand what that means? What do you mean? It's bitter. How could it be what's so bitter for one person is so sweet and so geschmack for somebody else? So the answer is, you have to jump in. If you don't jump in, you'll never feel it. So I was reading last week a storybook about the Risocher Meir. Risocher Meir was the Rosh Yeshiva Zatal of Yeshiva Sanegev in the Yeshiva Tadarom or something like that, a network of many yeshivas. And the story about him, and he wasn't so well, he actually had diabetes, but he still was a massive masmid, he barely slept, of course. And he would get ready for Shabbos in the afternoon. And he would come ready for Shabbos. So the punchline of the story was, not Friday afternoon. Thursday afternoon. He got ready for Shabbos Thursday afternoon, did Mishnah the entire night, learned the entire Friday, and then after the Suda Friday night, we'd go to sleep. What's the Pshat? The Pshat is like this. It wasn't Meir. It was Mamash as sweet as olive oil. An amazing thing. And if a person really wants to achieve godless in Torah and love for Torah, you just have to continue working at it. It's like anything in life. There's nothing great and amazing in life that just comes easy. You have to work at it. And once you work at it, it becomes sweet. And also, Shemin Zayich, it has to be Zoch, it has to be pure. It has to be Lashma. I think the Or HaChaim quotes a Yalkut Shimoni that from Parshat Bechukah, it says that it's better that a person shouldn't necessarily be born than to not learn Lashma. Meaning, Torah Lashma is the best. We shouldn't be learning in order to have kavod. Oh, everybody should see that on Talmud Chacham for intellectual calisthenics. That's not what we learn for. We learn Torah Lishma. It has to be Zach. Shem and Zayis Zach. It's got to be pure. It's got to be the Lishma, which we've spoken about before. The real way to connect to Limud HaTorah is to say, I'm not learning because everybody else is learning because it's what's the thing to do. I'm learning because it's a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody else should know. Learn an extra 5 minutes with nobody else knowing. And then it enhances Limud HaTorah. And also, Lashem Kotis. Actually, you have to push yourself. Right? The Torah is only fulfilled by somebody who kills himself. We have over it. We have to understand that there's no way, there's no God of Yisrael that reached where his levels of godless in Torah and his love for Torah and Avas HaTorah if it weren't for intense hard work. And which reminds me of a story I heard recently that I think is worth saying over. I mean, you can listen to it. It's an amazing shmooze on TorahAnytime.com. It was like a Super Bowl halftime thing. Like I said, I don't know. I imagine they released it during the halftime. They watched it. I don't exactly know. It had Rabbi Yoel Gold, Rabbi Eitan Feiner, Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. Rabbi Eitan Feiner told over a lot. He was amazing. I was powerful, and I actually sent it over to an old Talmud, and he had given me great feedback about it. He said the following story about Rav Shteinman Zatzal. He said that somebody came to Rav Shteinman and said, here's a check for $500,000, and you know, promise me that I'll be with you in Olam Haba. And Rav Shteinman said, oh, you want to be with me in Olam Haba? Okay. So let me see how much money that's going to cost you. So he called around from his yeshiva, I think, or different things, And it turns out they needed his, the network of yeshivas needed $3 million. So he turned back to this person, and he said that, so you want to be Mnei Mechitza? No problem. $3 million. And the man said, sorry, I can't do it. Sorry, I can't do it. So they asked him afterwards, like, what the, how can you do it? Like, he's willing to give you $500,000, and it, what's the shot? $3 million, and then that can give Olam Haba? He said, to earn Olam Haba, you have to work hard. The reason why I'm going to Olam Haba, I think that's what he said, is because I worked hard on Limud Torah. My entire life, I was Moshe Nefesh. I worked hard on Limud Torah. So he's not looking to earn his Olam Haba through learning. Fine. He can earn his Olam Haba through tzedakah. But you know what he has to do? I know his financial situation. I know he'll have to give up his house. He'll have to sell his car. He doesn't have $3 million, but in theory, he could do it. It'll be hard for him. That's the way to earn Olam Haba. So a person, Adam Lamal Yulad, a person has to be Moshe Nefesh. A person has to work hard. Nothing in life comes easy. And we know success, right? Success comes from hard work. And you know what? Hard work doesn't kill anybody. Hard work, on the contrary, it enhances people. And then, as another vort that's going to get to the Zayas, we know that, so Klai Yisrael is likened to a Zayas, amongst many other fruits. A Rimo and a Teina, and so on, is a cedar trees. Klai Yisrael is likened to olives. But the Shlomo Gantzfried in his Sefer Apirion says the following. He says that, two questions. Number one, it says in last week's parasha, "V'ichu li truma, take from me truma." That when you give a truma, it's for me. But in this week's parasha, we're talking about the Shem and Zayas. It says what, right? "V'ichu ilecha, take for yourselves." What's the difference? Why was last week "V'ichu li," and this week is "V'ichu ilecha"? So Rav Gantzfried explains based on the Pasuk Yom Yo. The Pasuk Yom Yo, when it describes the Jewish people as an olive, it says "Zayas ranon yufei pri toar kora Hashem shemecha." Right? The leafy olive, which is beautiful in shape, is what Hashem calls us. Why is Yom Yo calling us an olive? So he says that the beauty of an olive is, similar to what we said before, is that the more you crush it, right, you have to shake it off the tree, and then you have to take it to the oil press, and you gotta bang it really hard to get out the perfect shemen without any sediments, right? That's what you have to do. You have to work hard. And that's what the Jewish people are liking to. The Jewish people are liking to what makes us great. When we go through, I mean, the Gemara tells us you're not supposed to want Yisurim. But we are built on Yisurim. The more we've been challenged from the time we were created in Mitzrayim, right? We went through the Kura Barzal in Mitzrayim. The whole point of a Jew is that we get crushed, but that doesn't make us weaker. On the contrary, it makes us stronger. That's why we're compared to a Zayas, because our strength and our power and our greatness comes from where? When we face adversity and we persevere and we grow from that. And that's the whole idea of a Jew. And says Rav Gantzfried an unbelievable thing. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Jews were in Mitzrayim and he was being told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go and save the Jews, what did he say? Lam harios lam hazeh, why are you doing such bad things to this nation? Right? But lam hazeh shalachtani, why are you sending me? Moshe Rabbeinu said, what's the pshat? What do you need Yisurim for? What's the point of the Yisurim? Right? And what's the response to Moshe Rabbeinu now? Ata tzava, you. I'm telling you, you have to understand what's the pshat in the Zayas, what's the pshat in Klal Yisrael. The only way the Jewish people could become and be born into this great nation, the only way to do it is to go through hardships, to go through difficulties. Right? Nobody gets better. I say it all the time. You don't get better without challenges, right? You have the varsity basketball team playing the second grade team. Every single game. That's great. They won the championship. They won every game 100-0. That's great. That's not enjoyable, number one. Number two, you don't get better. Right? You only get better if you're challenged. That's the lesson of Klal Yisrael. That's the lesson of Mitzrayim. And that's the lesson of the Zayas. That's why the Jewish people are compared to a Zayas. So just as an aside for my grandmother, when you think about it, I mean, perhaps it only dawned upon me recently, but she left Poland when she was a teenager. She went on the kinder transport to England, and she, Baruch Hashem, she got married in England, and she moved to America, and Baruch Hashem, she built a family of Torah and mitzvahs, and all the grandchildren are from Baruch Hashem, and involved in Torah and mitzvahs. But, you know, it just dawned upon me, like, she grew up from her teenage years, she had no parents. They were murdered in the Holocaust. Like, from my mother's side, all four, she grew up without grandparents. And both of her parents lost their parents in the Shoah. But yet, the unwavering emunah of Hashem, and she was a very firm lady, she was a balas chesed, when she was elderly, she used to go to the to the Mariah home, if I'm not mistaken, to serve food to the ill and physically disabled. While she herself was already in her 70s and 80s. But the pshat is that that's what the Jewish people do. We of course don't ask for adversity. We don't ask for yisurim. But when the adversity comes towards us as individuals, and also comes towards us as a nation, what do? We persevere and we grow from it. And that's certainly how my grandmother Tzvi Bas of Ramat Zio lived her life and gave over to her children and grandchildren and great grandchildren. And I think that's a lesson for all Klai Yisrael. So the two major yisodos, you can't shtag in learning without working hard. It just doesn't work. And when you work hard, you will enjoy the benefits. As the famous Moshe that I heard from Rav Asher Zalman Rubinstein, that's how you can't taste the strawberry shortcake if you're still chewing spearmint. Right? If you're involved in other things, that's zach. It's got to be pure. If you're involved in other things, and as Rabbi Lopiansky pointed out so beautifully this past week, if you're involved in other things, you're distracted by other things, then the Torah can't stick. It doesn't work like that. It's got to be zach. A person has to work hard in his limited Torah. He has to be dead to the world while he's learning Torah. Right? When a person, as it says in the pasuk, zoschuk hastara adam kevas ba'olah. Right, one of the pshatim is, right, I said before, the Torah is only fulfilled by somebody who kills himself over it. What does it mean? One of the pshatim is you're dead to the world. You're not involved in anything else. You're totally focused. Have you heard of Goliath speak about the Chazon Ish? Why was he great in learning? Because he was totally focused. Totally focused in his learning. So number one, we have to be focused in learning. We have to work hard in learning. And when you work hard in learning, you smash it, you grind it out, then you'll be able to enjoy the pure oil. And number two, as individuals and as Klai Yisrael, We are going to go through challenges. There are challenges, but the challenges are there only to make us greater. Just like the Zayas, you smash the living daylights out of the Zayas, and what comes out? Beautiful, delicious, pure oil. Have a great Shabbos.